you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from James 1, verses 9 through 11. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. That's James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 5th, 2026, our first Friday in this new month. Not quite halfway through the year, but the beginning of the halfway point in this new year. And we welcome you to today's edition of Mark and Friends. That was Dave Fitch on staff here at WLUJ, Great News Media. And Joyce, our station manager, Joyce Mankey, opened up our time in prayer. So if you feel prayed up today or equipped to be attentive to the Spirit's leading through today's study, I got to give some credit to Joyce, because she asked Almighty God, Sovereign God of the universe, who loves and cares for you, she interceded on your behalf, on all of our behalfs, even for Pastor Mark, that she asked that God would help us learn his scripture, grow closer to him, find healing and hope and insight through today's lesson. So appreciate Joyce joining us. And today we're going to continue in our study through the book of James, chapter 1, as Pastor Mark Johnson will help us consider what it means to have right thinking. Now, last week we talked about asking God for wisdom, and he desires to give us wisdom. Well, today we're going to learn about right thinking and seeing life from God's perspective and keeping eternity in view. Very important. There is a destiny for all of us. There's an eternity set out for all of us, and we'll talk about that some today. And how our world often measures life by possessions, positions, and temporary things. But God calls us to see differently. So let's open our hearts and see what the Lord has to teach us today through James chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. And joining us in the studio, always prepared, always with a heart for the scriptures, always has a heart for mentoring and building up saints, people that love the Lord. But yet, listening friend, if you're somebody that hasn't come to a dynamic relationship with Jesus, recognizing him as Lord and Savior, Pastor Mark also desires that you'd come to know God and Jesus and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So be attentive, because God may speak to you through today's broadcast.
Amen. That's good. You know, I would ask the people who are listening today, do you think the world is perfect? Do you see the world as perfect? Is everything going perfectly in our world today? Or is there a lot of turmoil and a lot of problems? How about your family? Is everything perfect in your family? Is everybody just at perfect peace and unity and everything's going well and there's no problems? What about in your own life? Are you perfect? Do you get everything right through all that you do? If you're one of those people and you sit there and you say, yeah, the world's perfect, my home's perfect, and I'm perfect.
They're drinking Kool-Aid. Yeah, the wrong Kool-Aid.
Those are pretty thick rose-colored glasses you've got on right now. Understand this. Jesus came because we needed to be changed. Jesus came to save us from ourselves. Jesus came to bring transformation into our lives. And so when we come to him, we ask him to save us. We ask him to forgive us. We ask him to move in our life. And when he does that, and we're saved, we call this work the work of regeneration, where our spirit is rebirthed. He calls it being born again. And it's a key to being saved. You're not saved because you were confirmed. You're not saved because your family grew up and raised you in a church. You're not saved because you're an American. You're not saved because of any of the things that you do. You are saved because of the work of Christ done in you as you put faith in him. So think about it this way. We're born again, but we're not born again perfect any more than when you were born the first time, you were born full grown. So as a follower of Christ, our lives continue to be changed. So I have people tell me, well, the church isn't perfect. I say, no, they're made up of people. They're growing. Church is not perfect. There's going to be people in it, and people are at different levels of development. None of us are perfect yet. We won't be perfect till we see Jesus face to face. But we are called by James to mature in faith and to let the trials of our life work in us to complete us. So this continuous change are going to occur in our life, and it begins in our mind. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He puts this back to us. Come seek me. Come get to know me. In Romans it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Real change begins in our mind, and God uses his word to reveal to us the things that we need to know. So now, what is he revealing in this passage? He's talking to us about how we see our trials, but here's an interesting thing that James is saying. Whether you are rich or poor, both are trial. Our position in life can be allowed to impact how we see God. So how do you see yourself? It can impact how we respond to people. The brother in humble circumstances is faced in a trial of faith. Now, those humble circumstances may be poverty of relationships. It may be poverty of your spirit. It may be poverty financially. It's just all kinds of poverties that we are now lacking. The temptation is to be insecure, jealous, even angry because of our condition. It may be poverty of health, to see ourselves as deserving more, to lust after the more that somebody else has. Where James tells us, hey, if you're poor, take pride in your humble position. Be thankful for it. Trust God in it.
I've struggled with understanding this for years because I've read it many times. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But as you kind of unveiled it, is the high position is us looking at it, God's placed me in this position, so I should accept it and try to grow through it?
Yeah, wherever I find myself, that is the tool God is using in that moment to develop me. So 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I sit there and I say, okay, wherever I'm at right now, it doesn't mean I have to stay in that place. But God's going to allow the circumstances of my life to shine me and to make me into his image, which is more important than money or more important than other things. If we understand who Jesus is, Jesus is trying to make us into his image.
Yeah, I think that word pride, so many of us have a problem because when we're prideful, we know that's negative, but taking pride in this high position is just recognizing God's sovereignty in all things.
First of all, yeah, pride is always an issue of who is in control of my life and who do I see as giving me things. You know, we've talked about this before. You take the doctor who's prideful because he has all of this knowledge and ability to help people. And we thank God for doctors and the ability God's given them. Pride is him not realizing God gave him the ability. And he'll say, I worked hard and I earned this. Yes, God gave you the ability to work hard and do this. He gave you the ability to learn. You could lose it in a second. It could be gone in a moment. Humility recognizes my total dependence upon God. I find that in humble circumstances, how much I need him. I need to remember it in rich circumstances. Mm-hmm. They're both a trial. Mm-hmm. So as we look at those things, we realize that the circumstances of our life, we want to let God do a work in us so that we will be perfect in him. See, the promise comes this. Listen to what he says in James 2:5. Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? So the poor naturally lean towards God. Mm-hmm. When I'm poor in something, God, I don't know what to do with my kids. When I'm desperate, I naturally lean towards God. I'm sick. God, I need your help. I naturally cry out to God. And so that person grows in faith and grows in understanding. But the brother who is rich, he has a trial of his faith as well. The rich man can become puffed up, prideful, and forget God. So let's listen to what it says in Luke. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I will store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for you for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, what? You fool.
This very day.
This very day, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. So this idea that riches, success, can be a temptation. You take the great singer, and they may be singing a wonderful worship song, but they're also receiving the praise of that for themselves. They're being puffed up. Mm-hmm. They think of themselves as something. Instead of realizing, God gave me this voice. God gave me this ability. And when we see that God's given us all of our abilities, then we approach him thankfully.
I think of John the Baptist, one of his sayings, he must become greater, I must become less. So he had that balance or that proper perspective.
Yeah, I think in all of us, it begins with this humility before God that I am destitute on my own. He gives me everything. So James is pointing this out to us. Take pride in whatever position you're in. If you're in this position where you're just really, really aware, you need God. I've got some situations going on in my life right now. I can't fix them. I can't make them different. I need God to move. And those things make me cry out to him. When you're a pastor, pastors listening out there, all of us face decisions. People make in our churches, people make around us, people make towards us, that you cannot change. You cannot make them think differently, treat you differently, act differently. You're not in control of them. In that poverty, what do we do? Well, the wise pastor doesn't get mad. The wise one doesn't try to build a team of people around him to defend him. The wise pastor depends on God. What did Moses do when his sister and his brother confronted him and said, you're not the greatest thing that ever happened. There's a lot of us around here who hear from God. What did Moses do? He didn't fight with him. He didn't argue. He just fell on his face before God. He just fell on his face and prayed. And God dealt with it.
And wasn't he noted as the most humble person that lived or something along those lines?
Yeah, and which seems kind of, in our mindset with the word humility, Mark, That seems like, well, how can he say, I mean, he wrote that.
You know? I never thought about that.
You know, mm-hmm. He wrote that verse. You know, how can he say that? Well, he's inspired by God to say it. God inspired him to say it, not because of some lowly feeling about himself that he had. He said that about him because he depended upon God in everything he did. More than anybody else of his generation. the only, maybe the only person that's ever lived that depended more on the Father than Moses did is Jesus, who didn't do anything without hearing the Father's direction.
I think of some of the prayer gatherings that we've all been a part of at times when you have certain people that pray, thank you, God, for the roof over my head, for running water, for some of the basics in life, where others might be praying, you know, for the new position or the raise or the new house. But I'm always struck by the person, and it's left a mark on me because I think about, you know, God, thank you that there's, I can breathe, that there's air, that, you know, the simple things that we can take for granted. Air conditioning. When I, in the middle of the night, during a summer night, the air conditioning comes on, I praise God. Thank you, God, we have air conditioning. How do people around the world? But oftentimes we can forget running water and all the things that we have in America that people don't have. So I try to be mindful, but it's because of people that humbly approach God.
You know, you think about the new heavens and the new earth, and it's going to be so different than anything we experience here. The best that we have here, the best that we experience here, the nicest homes, the nicest food, the nicest conditions, when if we look back from the new heavens and the new earth, when that day comes and sin is lifted off of us, all of the health issues that we face are behind us, we'll look back at this place, if we were the richest person in the world, and say, that was a trash heap. I was living in a junkyard. Thank God for getting me out of that place. In the meantime, what we have, we should be grateful for. Listen, a rich man will not want add. Being rich does not add one day to your life. Mm-hmm. Being rich will not keep you out of hell. Your riches will not buy the most important things that there are on the earth. Your riches give you higher responsibility, if anything. And so to recognize that if God has blessed me with much, if you're listening today and God's blessed you with much, maybe you've got great abilities or great finances or great, you know, great talents. You are a steward of those things. You're going to answer for how you use them. You're going to answer for that someday. Those of us who live in America have so much more than what the rest of the world has. We're going to answer. Did we do anything? Did we do anything to help the world in any way? Mother Teresa used to ask people this, what are you doing to help the poor? Are you doing anything? Have you done anything? You say, well, I'm poor. Not compared to the poverty of the world, you're not. There's people around this world that would trade places with any one of us that are listening to this program today and think that they had hit it rich in comparison to where they're living today. So we have a responsibility for what we're giving. That is a test. That's a trial. So we have a trial if you're poor. We have a trial if we're rich. We are facing a trial. Will I follow God or won't I?
I'm writing down a couple of things, like having that earthly reality and yet having an eternal perspective. So the resources, the abilities, the gifts God's given us, how are we stewarding them to affect, influence, bless others? And then having that eternal perspective that life isn't always easy, even when we have many, maybe possessions or wealth or resources, that there's still, as we've talked the last few weeks, there's trials that present themselves. There's those refining fires, that sanctification process, that it's not always going to be easy, but with God in that eternal perspective, we can make it through. But to be that blessing to others with our resources, I think, is so important.
Paul writes to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There's the challenge in the areas where we are rich in something, where we have plenty. Can I share what I have? Do I see my life as a life that wants to welcome others in, that wants to serve others because I have plenty? Or do I see myself as, hey, this is all about me?
And, you know, another thing I was thinking about when we're talking about the trials that we face every day, so many times when something comes up that's really stressful to us, we immediately start trying to figure out how to do it ourselves, and we don't stay in the Word, when really we need to go to the Word and go to God and figure out what His answers are. Because we fix it ourselves, it's not fixed. I'm telling you, it just falls apart. So, but God can do all things and take control of our life, and then He blesses us with all the abundance of His blessings, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reminded that life is brief, but God's kingdom is eternal, and may we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We've talked a lot about Him the last few weeks, that all this wisdom is wonderful. God will impart it to us as we ask Him, but it should always point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we always want to keep our eyes fixed on Him and learn to think, value, and live from His perspective. And so thank you, Mark, for again taking us through James chapter 1, verse 9 through 11.
If you know your test, know your trial.
Yeah. And if you want to listen to this program again or pass it on to a friend, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. So we hope it can be a resource. We hope you can join us on the Fridays as we continue through this book of James, maybe for many months ahead. It's a great book. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book filled with great application. But it always points to Jesus, and that's what we're all about, lifting high the name of Jesus. Right, Joyce?
Absolutely.
It's WLUJ, lifting up Jesus. It's our passion. It's our goal. It's our promise to you as you tune in that we'll always have God-honoring music and programming to fortify you on your faith journey. Well, thanks for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Have a great weekend. God's best to you. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson in a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.